around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. It's a joy to be with you this Tuesday. We welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. For some, this is about the seventh program, I believe, on Jesus. My heart's desire is that you have learned a plethora about Jesus, the Lord's Christ. My prayer is that this has not been arduous and laborious for you, but that you have learned an enormous amount about Jesus Christ and will continue as we exegete and continue this one verse in Luke 4 and 18. God has been so gracious to this nation. It is truly humbling. Those of you that continue to attack Donald Trump, you twerps, and I said twerps, I don't curse. You are so blind, you are a blind watchman. You run around as a self-appointed so-called watchman, but you're not God's watchman. You're the devil's watchman. And Isaiah 56:10 says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine. We will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. You see, you're the devil's watchman, and you're the one that's blind. Yet you want to run around telling everybody else they're blind. You're the only one that can see. Sir, you're the one that's deceived. You're the one that cannot see. You can't see the miracle, how that everybody had coronated Jezebel Hillary Rodham Clinton as the new president. God said, I don't think so. He even would have won the popular vote if there hadn't been all this fraudulent, fake, illegal voting. But you can't see that because you're the devil's watchman and you're blind. You're ignorant. You're dumb. Brother Langford, that's just hard. Excuse me, may I quote it from Isaiah? Why don't you castigate Isaiah and castigate God? Isaiah 56:10. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. Anybody that cannot see that God has given us a parenthetical time of reprieve. It's just, they're just what he said. You're blind, you're ignorant, and you're dumb. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says about you. Now, that doesn't mean that God has not raised up Donald Trump for a third world war. You see, I've said this for 20 years. There will be a third world war. Out of the ruinous heap will arise this seventh world empire, these 10 kings, and then the revelation of the Antichrist. Because Ezekiel 38:39 has to be fulfilled too before Jesus comes back. And to think that Donald Trump defeated 16 Republican candidates the news media, both parties, Democrat and Republican, all news networks, a world order, and then his wife, a couple weeks ago, opens up with the Lord's Prayer. To this day, the New World Order, both Republicans and Democrats, are fighting him tooth and toenail. That's why I'm going to try to remind myself to pray for him before I go off the air today. How can you not see God? How can you not? Let me say this. Let me remind you of this. You know, we all heard the potty mouth on the bus. Don't you think if they had some other dirt, they'd be bringing it out right now or before the election to try to destroy him? Now, this is really going to make some of you mad. This is going to chap some of you really, really, really bad. But I got to tell you what the Bible says. You see, I know this won't be easy. I know this won't go over well. But I got to tell you the truth. Psalms 105, verse 15, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Are you saying Donald Trump's a prophet? Absolutely not. Is he God's anointed? Absolutely so. How can you say that, Pastor Lankford? Because he anointed Cyrus. Isaiah 45:1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, his anointed. You have to understand the anointings. Oh, anointings? Oh, yeah. I'm anointed to preach. At times I have been anointed in the gifts of the Spirit. Cyrus was anointed to go back and lay the foundation of God's temple in Jerusalem. But he wasn't anointed to preach. He wasn't anointed to be a prophet. And you see, some of these buffoons are attacking God's anointed. That's why everything that they try at the end of the day, it doesn't work. How about the firing of Michael Flynn? Because he was dishonest. You think Obama would have fired Loretta Lynch had she had something, when we know, my God, on the tarmac on a plane with Bill Clinton for 45 minutes? Donald Trump is showing you I'm a man of my word. There's not going to be this kind of mess in my administration. And he fired him because he wasn't forthright. Yet he spoke with dignity. The man served our country well, et cetera, et cetera. John McCain, he's trashing Donald Trump. These are the establishment. These are the men, Mark Rubio, John McCain, Lindsey Graham. They take money from George Soros. I'm telling you, they want a new world order. It won't happen till it's God's time. It won't happen till it's God's time. Whatever happened to understanding Psalms chapter 75? Whatever happened to the understanding of what God... Listen, don't you understand that God's in control of all of this? Psalm 75:7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. But God is the judge. Genesis 18:25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8 calls him the righteous judge. Don't you know that they had coronated Jezebel? Already had the fireworks? I love what Trump said. I'll give you a penny or 10 cents on the dollar for your fireworks. Isn't it how funny the heathen imagine a vain thing, but God will have them in derision? Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It was vain for them to think. Hillary's winning. She's going to go in there. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Do you don't think they were working against Trump, his anointed? Not anointed to preach, anointed to carry out a mission. They say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But the psalmist said, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. They're like, what happened to us? Cuz, what happened to us? Cuz, we thought we had this thing nailed down. We thought we had this thing nailed down. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Did you know God could suffer Donald Trump to be removed in office, and Mike Pence, a bona fide professing child of the Most High God, as president? You see, that's why, as I said yesterday, the church is so messed up. Because the church don't have the Holy Ghost. Jesus left the church in the hands of the apostles to give us the epistles and the Holy Ghost. And then, as God has chosen, as he has willed, he's anointed men to come and carry forth and continue the gospel of Christ. I, like Mary, had nothing to do with my calling. Mary had nothing to do with being chosen of God to bear the child of God, Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Nothing. That's why Gabriel said, thou art highly favored, thou art blessed among women. You have no idea, Mary, how favored, how blessed you are. Let's keep the president in prayer. And let's pray for his divine protection. I remember as I watched Donald Trump's wife open with the Lord's Prayer. And when there was the hysteria about the transvestite in the White House talking about the American flag, said it's just a D flag. The transvestite says, I'm finally proud to be an American because my whatever he is was elected president. Yet we've witnessed time and time again the godliness, all the prayers that were prayed in the inauguration and closed in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We watched Trump's wife open up, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Do you realize what she prayed? She asked for the Lord to come back. She asked the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Or do you not understand the Lord's Prayer? Do you not understand the Lord's Prayer? "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us repentance." Look at that, repentance. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." She exalted Christ worldwide from her podium. "For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. How long? Forever." What an acknowledgement. And you little twerps just keep on beating up on the man. And you say you're a Christian. You wouldn't know God if he slapped you in the face. I said you wouldn't know God if he slapped you in the face. And he has been known. He has been known to slap a few people in the face through demons. My mighty God we serve. God is the judge. He pulls down one and he sets up another. God is so sovereign that he can do anything he wants to do. He can do anything. He allowed Zedekiah to slap in the face Micaiah. 2 Chronicles 18:23. He slapped. God allowed the devil to slap the man of God in the face. Don't ask me why. Maybe God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith Lord. I will repay." But when Zedekiah smote Micaiah, Zedekiah said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" Micaiah said, "Thou shalt see on the day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. But you will not return in peace. You're going to die. You're going to die." God is so absolute sovereign, it begs description. Let me get back into the scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is why we are to be anointed, so we can preach the gospel. Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the gospel? Let me give you a summary of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. The gospel is about redemption. The gospel is about salvation. The gospel is about saving. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. And the Holy Ghost is the one that not only anoints the gospel, but it's the Holy Ghost that brings men to repentance. 1 Corinthians 15:2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, or ye've believed and forgotten and counted the gospel as worthless. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. You can't preach something that you don't know anything about. How many times have I said this? The people you're listening to cannot take you any further spiritually than they have been themselves. My Baptist brothers and sisters cannot preach the baptism in the Holy Ghost because they've never received the Holy Ghost. In baptism, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. The death, burial, and the resurrection is the gospel. That's why Jesus preached his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He preached his own death, burial, and resurrection. John 2:19. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. But they couldn't see it. They couldn't grasp it. They could not fathom. They could not understand what Jesus was saying. Couldn't get it. Preach the gospel. That doesn't mean people who don't have any wherewithal, who do not have money. It means those who are broken and contrite in spirit. People who are poor. The Beatitudes. Remember the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5? Man, I wish people would start living those things. Yeah, if they'd start living the Beatitudes. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. Not poor in that you don't have any spirit. Not poor in that you cannot or will never have any spirit. But your spirit is contrite. Your spirit is broken. You see, you could turn on the television, just like I do. Turn on the radio. How much Bible do you hear being preached? I just cannot get fed today. I just cannot get fed, for the most part, because it's so much yapping, talking, and nothing to do with the Scriptures. Don't tell me to how to have my best life now. That's not preaching the word. Paul, the man of God, charged Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. Turn away their ears from the truth. I was up, I believe it was last night, I wasn't sleeping well, and I turned on the television to a Christian channel, and if the little fella didn't look limp-wristed, I don't know what limp-wristed is. And he was preaching his little sermonette. I don't recall hearing one Bible verse, not one. He quoted some of the philosophers, Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, Demosthenes. He quoted some other, I don't know, physicists, scientists. I don't know who they were. And I sat there and I thought, What good is that doing your congregation? Had his little tight pants on, real tight around his ankles, his little boots on. He looks so feminine. You notice how feminine preachers look today? They can't even grow a beard. They talk like little girls. Effeminate. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's in the Bible too, 1 Corinthians 6:10. Effeminate. Yeah, the Bible says that. Now, of course, as I've said time and time again, they don't preach the epistles. So you won't hear this term, effeminate. But is that the word of God? Or is it not the word of God? Well, guess what? It is the word of God. Effeminate. I told you what that means, I think, haven't I? I think I've told you the meaning of the word effeminate, and believe you me, it is rampant. It is rampant in our society. But again, you will not hear preachers preach from the epistles because they are so commanding and they are so demanding, and therefore they don't want to offend the people, so they want to retain this seeker-friendly church. And it means a catamite. A catamite is an older man having sex with little boys. But it also means someone who is very soft. Soft. Look it up. Effeminate. Number 3120 in your Strong Exhaustive Concordance. Don't these preachers look soft? Jesus was a man's man. Peter was a man's man. He took a sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. These were men. David was a warrior. Teach my fingers to war. Now, I'm not advocating war and violence. I'm just telling you these men were not effeminate. They were not soft. John the Baptist was not soft. Preaching the word tears down the strongholds of hell. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When men preach the word discerns the congregation. But there's no Bible being preached. And that's why they sit there and they're comfortable and they clap their hands every time you make a philosophical point. Oh, I know this ministry will never, ever, ever be large. Never. Because I'm not going to conform to the world. I'm not going to let the world change me and make me what it wants to make me. There was a reason Aspenaz was the king's servant, Nebuchadnezzar, and they gave Daniel and all of the three Hebrew boys new names, re-identified them. This culture wants to change who you are. Now, you can be a transgender, which means you can be a woman and say you're a man, or you can be a man and say I'm a woman. Jesus loves us all. Y'all just come on in here, all you transgenders, all you homosexuals, y'all just come on in. Hey, I want them to come in. Don't get me wrong. I want them to get saved and get their right mind and quit being messed up. Yeah. I want the adulterers to come in. I want the adulteresses. I want the sodomites. I want the fornicators. I want the drunkards. I want the effeminate. I want the abusers of themselves with mankind. I want the thieves. I want the liars. I want them to come in. But listen, you can't come in and stay like you are. Because Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You'll rotten the whole church if you leave the sin in it. My God. I'm trying to think of the pastor's name. In Georgia. Huge church. Mega church. He's dead now. The whole staff was committing adultery. Earl P. Polk. Some of you will remember that name. He was in the Church of God at one time, the same denomination I was with. But, buddy, when God opened it up and exposed that church, all of them, I'm telling you, the whole stinking, rotten staff was committing adultery. Let me ask you this question. I know I'm not a popular guy. I'm not trying to be popular. How is it that people can sit in the congregation and never discern this evil? See, I get lambasted because I preach against sin or I call somebody's name. I get lambasted. You're being judgmental. I was sitting September 1987 in Jimmy Swaggart's church on a Thursday night when the Holy Ghost said to me, do not give this man another dime. He's got sin in his life. I have a witness. I turned to a fellow pastor sitting beside of me and I said, you know what God just said to me? He said, what? I said, God just told me not to give him another dime. He had sin in his life. And I'll never forget the pastor's response. He said, what is it? I said, I don't know. I just know he's got sin in his life. That was in September. I can't tell you the exact date. I know it was Thursday night because Swagger was preaching on the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But I remember distinctly his repentance and confession on February the 21st, 1988. That's my birth date, February the 21st. God didn't lie to me. God spoke to my heart and said, there's sin in the man's life. How is it people can sit in these mega churches and not discern the sin in these people's lives? I'll tell you why. I'll give you two fundamental reasons. Number one, they don't have the Holy Ghost. That's your main problem. That's your main problem. Listen, this is a little off the subject, but I want to be transparent and show you how this can happen. I had a friend of mine who was a pastor of a church. He got caught in a sting operation with prostitutes. He would go out on Saturday nights, go to the red light districts, pick up a prostitute, pay the $20, whatever it was. And I asked him, I will not say his name for the sake of anything going wrong. I said, how in the world could you do that on Saturday night and get up and preach Sunday morning? You know what he said to me? He said, you learn to do it. I said, do what? He said, you learn to do it. He said, the first time I went out on Saturday night to find a prostitute, my nerves were frayed. Just shot. My nerves were shot. I was so afraid. I was so scared. But he said, after I did it the first time, it became easier the second time, more easier the third time, the fourth, and on, until he said, I just got to where I was doing it all the time. And then get up on Sunday morning and preach. And then he got caught in a sting operation where a police officer woman was looking, portraying herself, feigning she was a prostitute, and he propositioned her, and he was arrested because it was a sting operation. This is not hearsay. I engaged my brother in conversation. I said, how did you do that? He said, you learn to do it. And I thought, and we talked for a long time. How scary. Oh, yeah, it was scary. It was unbelievably scary the first time and the second time. He said, but that fear, that scary part, it begins to wane. It gets less and less and less. And then he said, you just learn to do it. You go out, you commit the ungodly act on Saturday night. Sometimes you tell God you're sorry. You get right up Sunday morning and you preach. And the congregation has no discernment at all. I've said this before. If there's something wrong in my life, I'm committing sin, God shows you something, hey, you call me. You write me. You know, I've had people to do that to me, and they were just liars. I had that done to me 2 years ago. Guy out of Texas. He just accused me of being just a liar. And I had committed some evil. But he didn't accuse me of anything. And to make a long story short, he was the liar. He duped me out of $500. He said he sent $500 to the ministry, my ministry. The check got lost. It was to help a widow. I sent him $500 because he said, once my check error is cleared up, I'll give it back to you. Well, I didn't get that either. And he wants to accuse me of being a liar. He's probably listening now. Sir, you owe me you owe the Lord $500 because you lied to me about a widow. You see, this that person claimed he was a Christian too. This is because there's no Bible preaching. When there's Holy Ghost anointed preaching, oh, it just digs in deep into the souls of men and says to them, you must repent. You must repent. You must get right with God. But no. That's why these mega churches are very scary to me, because there's no accountability. The Bible said a shepherd knows his sheep. Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. When preachers preach the word of God, that word does not return void, emptyless, fruitless, worthless. But it returns, and there is a return on the word, in the sense somebody's saved, somebody's delivered, somebody's healed, somebody's restored, somebody repents. There's a return on preaching the word of God. One very popular preacher in the last year has said he too has changed his mind about same-sex marriage. Now he's for it. What's happening to us? We're getting away from the word. This is why the church will be presented to Christ without a spot, without a wrinkle, without a blemish. And there won't be a whole lot of people. Matthew 7, 13, 15. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Jesus said, now just a few is going to be saved. Just a few. There won't be many saved now. Not many. Even the disciples understood that. Luke 13 and 23. Then said one unto him, the disciples, Lord, are there few that be saved? Will there be a few saved? Read the rest of the passage in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 22. There's just going to be a few people saved. You look at these mega churches and these mega congregations and you see 25, 30,000 sitting there. Jesus said, few there be saved. How many would you say out of that size of congregation would be saved? I'll let you decide that. But that's why he said in Matthew 7:21, you need to read the seventh chapter of Matthew. It's full of truth. So much revelation. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You can't shack up and go to heaven. You can't live with your boyfriend. You can't live with your girlfriend and go to heaven and fornicate. Yes, I said that. I said it. I'll say it again. You cannot shack up. You cannot live together. You cannot fornicate and go to heaven. Did I say that? No, God said that. First Corinthians 6 and 9. That's why we've got to preach the gospel. We've got to preach the word of God. We've got to tell people the truth. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. My God, if his word's a two-edged sword, it's going to cut you asunder. It's going to lacerate. It's going to eviscerate. It's going to chop you up. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Fornicators. Young people, you're shacking up. You're not going to heaven. I'm not being ugly, but you're not going to heaven. A fornicator. The Greek says you're a debauchee, you're a whoremonger. The Greek word is pornos, P-O-R-N-O-S. We get the Greek word, or the English word, pornography. Can you imagine in some of these churches, me up there preaching like this? No, because they won't have me. They don't want me. Because they're blind, ignorant, and dumb. They don't want me. They're afraid John the Baptist will come in and tear up Jack and, well, we want to keep this thing together. My God, we got millions of dollars coming in here. You think I want to lose these millions? You think I want to relinquish my lifestyle of living in a mansion and flying around in a Learjet everywhere I go? You think I want to give all that up? Jesus loves you just like you are. Larry King did more Bible preaching than Joy Osteen ever thought when he interviewed him. What about Jews? They got to convert to Christianity to be saved to go to heaven? I can't go there, Larry. Homosexuals, they got to be regenerated, born again? I can't go there, Larry. What's going on? What's happening to us? I had a young man in his 20s the other day said, I'm sick and tired of trying to find a church. I'd rather sit at the house on Sunday morning and listen and watch one of your YouTube videos than go to church anymore. Hey, it's disappointing, folks. Why? Because they're not preaching the word of God. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. You've got to preach the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. I'll say it again, and I'll say it again and again. You do not hear preachers preaching from the epistles. If they do, it's where Paul said something like 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I have not charity, if I have not love, I am as a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So you got to preach love. Why don't you go ahead and preach all of Paul or the Pauline epistles? Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and preach from the book of Galatians, from the book of Ephesians? Why don't you talk about all these wicked, licentious sins? Well, we don't want to do that. We just want to preach about love. Okay, I'm going to give you a passage. Now watch this. Watch this. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But, that conjunction in the English word, but, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I'm going to go to my gay mare's wedding. Ephesians 5:12. Listen to this. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Any preacher that would go to his gay mare's wedding is condoning it, embracing it, and saying, it's all right. Hey, I'm preaching about Jesus and preaching the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God. Sad, isn't it? Paul starts out, walk in love. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the love of God. I know He loves me. That's why He saved me. How about telling me how to live right so I can inherit eternal life? That I will not hear Him reject me at the Bema seat. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Tell me how to live and not live a life of sin and sinfulness, of corruption and deceitful lust. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Did you hear what Paul said? We are members one of another. Was it yesterday I talked about we all should see alike, hear alike, smell alike, taste alike, touch alike? You say you're a Christian, you're attached to the same body of Christ that I am too. You're attached to the same body. We are members one of another because we are members of His body. No, that is the problem. Well, I'm a Christian. I heard a guy the other day. If I'm lying, God strike me dead right now. He was taking God's name in vain, shacking up with his girlfriend, and he said, I'm a Christian. I heard him say it. I'm saying, what's the difference? What's a Christian fornicator and a Christian who does not fornicate? What's the difference? Well, one is a true Christian and the other one is a professing Christian. But they're not a Christian. That's not the fruit of Christ's Spirit. I'm a Christian thief. I'm a Christian drunkard. As a man, I'm a Christian adulterer. As a woman, you're a Christian adulteress. I'm a Christian sodomite. I'm a Christian liar. This is how nonsensical it's becoming. And then when I stand up and I preach, and I call sin, sin, from the Word of God, I'm not calling sin from my own intellectualism. I'm calling sin from the Word of the Lord. But I'm wrong. I'm hard. I'm insensitive. I don't care. I'm the one that cares. Any doctor that diagnoses you with cancer and says, just take 2 aspirin and everything will be all right, you think that man cares about your body? You think he cares about you and who you are? Man, if I got something wrong with me in my body, tell me the truth and help me get it fixed. If there's something wrong in your spiritual life, preacher, tell me how to get it right with God. Life is a probation. Life is a probation. If you don't get it right on this side of eternity, there's no after chance. Give me a second chance, Lord. Listen, hell is full of people. Hell is full of people who want a second chance. Father, cover Donald Trump. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon his life. I ask you to protect him. I ask that your angels, you will command your angels, you will commission them to keep themselves around him, protect him, and watch over him until thy will is done, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you. I'll see you Monday in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.